Well, we've been talking for a while. We could continue on. I've only went through half of the questions that I had for you, but I don't want to keep you. I know you're on the other side of the world and probably about ready to go to bed. Here's what I understand. Church history is important. Check. We can learn from people who went through the highs and the lows of carrying out their faith. And while not everyone's perfect, we can appreciate those who declare the lordship of Christ to them. And even when they fail, they offer us a story of tragedy that can be redeemed, or a story of comedy that comes out from the dips,
Yeah.
We're able to see God's redemption of man's plan in that. Would that be a decent overview of what church history looks like?
Yeah, and when you say it like that, it sounds like, who's ultimately in charge? God is, right? Who, if a person is successful or a person fails and teaches us a cautionary tale, ultimately the person leading God's church, not the person, the one leading God's church is Christ, is God. And the reason why church history is so important is because who is ultimately orchestrating every believer's movements is supposed to be when they are following the Lord. God is the one ultimately leading us. And so when you are studying church history, you're also studying the work that God is doing throughout history. I said in a recent episode that we had called All the Good Christians Do, which was a conversation between Joel and I. You know, Roe versus Wade getting overturned is no surprise. Christians worked hard for that. Christians worked hard to end slavery. Christians worked hard to end eugenics. Christians worked hard to end Viking funerals where the wives were thrown on the pyre. Christians worked hard to end the sacrifice of twins. Christians worked hard to end foot binding that killed 1 in 6 women in China. Christians worked hard to end cannibalism in the Pacific. Christians worked hard to end slave trade in the Middle East. Christians worked hard to end communist concentration camps in Russia. Christians were like, this is something we do. We created the concept of orphanages, and then we took care of orphans. We created the concept of schools, and then we ran schools, and now we try to run literacy programs all over the world in people's own languages, not forcing them to learn our language like another religion that's very big, but instead we try to learn it in their language and teach it to them. We also have the concept of hospitals comes from us. Once again, bring all the sick to one people. We created that too. Christians have done so very much good for the world. And yet we're always on the defense about what the Crusades and the Inquisition, which the Inquisition was done by Catholics, that's their problem. I guess the Crusades were too. But to say we're always on the defense because of, I guess, the Salem witch trials. And I go, we have done so much good for the world and we're playing defense. That's ridiculous. The rest of the world needs to explain to us, where are the atheist inventions that we all use, right? Where is the great good that the atheist and the agnostic brought to the world that everyone is currently using? The entire world uses schools. The entire world uses hospitals. The entire world uses orphanages. The entire world does all these different things. Please, atheist and agnostic, if you're so much better, if you freed yourself from the shackles of religion and now you're truly free, why is it the only thing you can create is hunger? Why is that the only invention you seem capable of bringing to the mass of the world, right? What is it? What is the great thing you have created and brought to everyone that has changed and revolutionized society that comes even close to the orphanage, the hospital, and the school?
The scientific revolution was the Christian response to go,
Yeah.
I want to know God's creation more and better and
Yes.
deeper.
We talked about Jonathan Edwards, the theologian. We forgot about Jonathan Edwards, the scientist, right? Like,
Yeah.
how many of these great men were, in fact, scientists? It just happens over and over and over again where we try to escape the Christian, and yet the Christian is already there, right? And they're always ahead of you. Once, you know, if you're an atheist, I mean, how many, I mean, gosh, I'm sure you do this way more than I do, but how many times I love reading the Google News feed, because the Google News feed will send me these great articles where it'll be like, huh, evolutionists rethinking and starting to realize it's difficult to explain how, like, an organ system evolved on its own. I'm like, wow, welcome to the creationist point 150 years late. We said that, like, way forever ago. The eyeball is hard to explain, isn't it? It would have had to have happened all at once. You're not wrong. Where have you been? Right? Where were you? We were here this whole time, right? And it's just crazy to me how much, like, the scientists work so hard to do everything without God's help, and they don't even get 10% of the way where the Christians manage to land. And I'm not saying this isn't arrogant, like we're so much better than them. I'm just saying that look through history, show me one group of people who have changed the world, completely flipped it upside down, like the Christians and the Christian countries have. You can't find anything that comes remotely close. That doesn't mean everything they say is true, but if you're an atheist, you gotta look at that and go, why doesn't that match up, right? Why didn't communist Russia, communist China, why hasn't the godless countries changed the world for the better the way that the Christian countries did when they were rocking the love of Jesus?
You know, 12 million dead. That's a good number. It's, you know, we're going for high numbers in this point in time. Yeah.
We're going to throw up the shackles of religion, and 3 million people have died and are starving, right? I mean, it happens every time. I mean, I've lived in those countries. I've seen it firsthand. It's terrible.
Japan, our friend from Anarchist Bible Study, we talked about, on, I think on Twitter, on Japan's high suicidal rate, low investment, but high time in work that's unfulfilling, and mm-hmm. It's a place without hope where you have different areas of the cities where depending on your economic standpoint, that's where you kill yourself, you know. So, shirking off the chains of the masses of religion. Seems maybe not fully the way to go, especially if you think it's just some sky daddy in the sky who bestows us with magic powers or something.
Well, and I mean, and the obvious too, there's a huge movement called deconstructionism or the ex-evangelical movement now. And I'm not sure who tweeted it, so I do apologize. I can't credit correctly, but show me one person who did that who's happier after than before, right? Like the people who leave are never more fulfilled and more joyful. And it's just the way it is. As much as they want to be, you've met them, you've talked with them, you've hung out with them, and you know that deep down they are not happier than they were before they started. And that's just the way it is. No country is better once it leaves God. America has never been further from God. America, is this the America we're all proud of, where drag queen story hours are now becoming a regular argument online? And I don't even go on TikTok because I'm terrified. So I mean, like the world we look at in America today, don't we all not say fondly wish we could go back? There were problems in the past per se. Yeah. But is there anybody who looks at the situation they're raising their children in today and go, man, my children have never had it better, right? Like that's nobody says that.